Welcome to Writing and Publishing with Dumbold Bob. Thanks for joining us for this episode. Let's get started. Welcome to a bonus episode of Writing and Publishing with Dumbold Bob. It's a release tied to the celebrations for the 2025 National Buy Bob's Book Day event. And I'm going to kick things off in a moment with a little bit of a recap about the festivities and the event. Then, I've taken two subjects that have come up in some contacts and some messages, formed them into questions, and we're going to continue along with those. One thing I would like to say as we start things off, though. For the time and attention you've given this podcast, I am incredibly grateful. I look over what I generally cover in my workshops and what I've put aside for a variety of reasons over the years, and I know we still have so much left to cover. You have been amazing with listens, feedback, material you've reached out about. In fact, for the time and attention, along with the comments and messages and joining me at appearances and purchasing my books and all levels and kind of support, just thank you. No other words for it. Thank you very much. Keep coming back for more of Writing and Publishing with Dumbold Bob. Check out my other podcast, The Essays with Dumbold Bob. Prepare for a new website experience at inmybackpack.com soon. And head out to your online bookseller of choice and look for me, Bob Hocking, as the author. You can also find my author page on Amazon. Check out my 15 published titles in both print and Kindle forms. I appreciate it. Now, let's get to National Buy Bob's Book Day and those questions. August 26, 2025, is the 14th annual festivities for the National Buy Bob's Book Day event. It started out in 2012 as part of the release efforts for Time Just Drifts Away. I had published that book, my first book, in July of that year. I was working on an ebook edition that would come out in September, while at the same time wading through the processes involved in publicizing and marketing the release. During those summer days, I started seeing posts on social media platforms. People were offering up comments and more about National Day of this and National Day of that, in one of my lovely silent and sarcastic thoughts, blending humor, seriousness, and more, I wondered why my writing didn't have a national day of its own. And that thought stayed with me, bouncing about in my head in different forms and moments of consideration, for a couple of days, stuck around as the world was asked to recognize the brilliance of raspberry cream pie and ice cream sandwiches with their own days of honor. Stuck around until, well, the thought grew in frequency and volume until I decided, why not? Why not have a day celebrating my book, and since then, my books? I've said it before, and I hope to say it many times in the future, it is intended to be fun, good-natured, bordering right up against silly with a splash of nothing too serious. And yet, it is serious, at least for me. I'm an author with books out there. Books I'd love to see sold and read and enjoyed. I'd be thrilled if you did head out to purchase some of my books. Pleased, humbled, and honored if you did, truth be told. This is my attempt, in a casual and direct way, to bring some attention to my efforts, and I'm grateful for any time and consideration you do give them. Thank you. There are two questions that I'm looking at with this episode, but they're based on a similar premise, just viewed in different ways. People have been asking about what I consider the biggest unknowns, the ones that trip up writers as they work on projects, and ultimately when they're working on that business area of publishing a book, or books, or just selling material. Often, my responses to questions and during conversations can spiral in a million ways, sometimes depending on what we may be discussing, and other times maybe what I happen to be working on at the time. I think you get the idea there. If I'm working on a manuscript, I might be influenced by that into considering editing and proofreading as being horrible beyond belief. If I'm trying to reach out and set up a calendar of appearances, PR work is a nightmare, and so on, since immediacy and perspective often matter more than reality. That understood, for our thoughts here, I tried to look at two distinct queries that I get. First, what is something I think causes the most issues for writers? And second, is there something, kind of out of the common thoughts, I think need to be a bit more present in the minds of writers? We're going with something I've already mentioned before as the cause of the most issues, the unspoken familiarity with the process. And for the uncommon idea, in our final section, we'll be covering branding. Now, familiarity. Okay. I've brought this up before, essentially describing the concept with two foundational ideas. First, the process of writing a book isn't strange to anyone. Seriously, not a mystery to anyone. Go out, approach a random person, and they are very likely to give you the main elements of the process for book publishing. Have an idea, write the manuscript, rewrite and finalize that manuscript while setting it up with a cover, then sell it. Nothing fancy there. Very basic and simple and understood. Second, even for an author, debating some of the pieces of each part, there is nothing strange about it. The writing. There will be a first draft, a rough draft or two or 14 along the way to a final draft, and then the manuscript is set. Perhaps some outside readers or editors in the process of moving from that first draft to that final draft. The publishing. Maybe there's an agent search. Maybe working on finding the right self-publishing platform. Deciding on different styles for editions from print to audio. The marketing? Could there be interviews? Signings in bookstores? Readings in libraries? Go ahead, consider all of this and more. There should be nothing surprising in any of it. Not even creating a media kit or finding an artist to work on cover ideas is outrageous as a suggestion. It seems familiar. It feels comfortable. And all of it means that, even if we are, as individuals, adverse to working well as a team, arguing against any and all suggestions and critiques and help from outside sources, for the process itself, we act as if we're open to all of it. Smiles and nods of understanding, and of course it would be nice to have a talented editor work their magic on a draft so we can improve it. Smiles and nods of understanding, and of course we recognize that professionals get paid for their work, and so contributions, such as artwork, will come with a price tag. And on and on. What we don't know is whether or not an agency should be suggesting these steps and asking us to pay for them. What we don't know is how to spot a genuine, authentic, legitimate, could be helpful, all in one, will get your book published company, and one looking to take advantage of us and bring nothing more to the process than draining our checking accounts. Writer after writer that I've spoken to have been drawn in by aspects of the process that seemed so part of the process. Authentic. Of course you need this, and the writer didn't question it. And suddenly, sticker shock arrived with a $5,000 invoice for services. Or different services from different places that total thousands. Why such a problem? For instance, if an artist charges $1,000 to draw some breathtaking piece for the cover, and it feels perfect and like exactly the image we were looking for, shouldn't they be reimbursed for their work? Well, yeah. But remember when we scratched the surface of dollars, and we talked about how a traditionally published writer might? Calm seas, wind in the sails, no obstacles, downhill run, best case scenario, be able to consider making $6,000 total? Or self-published, same blue skies and perfection, making $900 or less? Folks, you gotta give the cost of editors and artists and self-publishing assistance companies more time, research, effort, thought and consideration before shrugging your shoulders and simply thinking they know what's best, and your book is going to sell thousands of copies to cover those expenses anyway, and it's going to make a great movie. For us, right now, the general idea is it feels familiar to us, and that's what you need to consider. The thoughts that we should try to find an agent or pay someone to edit our manuscript are not wrong on the surface. In fact, the actions may be even right to pursue and employ someone to do. The problems begin because we think we know what that means and don't take the time to learn what it does mean, the best ways of going about it, and where the scams or other traps may be. Why? Because it's all so familiar. Branding. What the heck is it, and why should any of us care? First up, this is something we'll get into down the road in more detail and with a longer list of examples and thoughts. For now, though, consider this as a really simple definition. Branding is what you want, perhaps even quickly to come to mind, associated with you and your work. It could be an author. Stephen King is a brand. Agatha Christie is a brand. It could be a book. A discovery of witches led into the All Souls trilogy from Deborah Harkness. Maybe a character. Jack Reacher, for instance, from the works of Lee Child. As a nod in my personal direction, a lot of my branding has involved In My Backpack as a website and is now stretching into Dumb Old Bob with the podcasts. The funny thing I see is, great quick and dirty example, many writers give their image, their foundation, their brand as much thought as many folks gave to their first email addresses. They came up with something often wildly inappropriate or simply silly and outlandish for an email personalization, only to find out they needed to put it on a resume or actually share it with people so they could have an email sent to them. And that email address idea stretches a bit further. How many of us wish we had multiple email addresses from the very beginning of our email history, so we could direct some sources of material, the ones that relentlessly send us useless marketing and junk, to a secondary address we don't really use instead of our main address. The point here being, again, experience has taught us something that would have been nice to know from the start. Mind you, I'm not suggesting you run out and get every social media account and website name possible for the title of your book and lead character names. That's not the point here. Instead, consider how we wandered down this path, the thought that spurred the question. This is a topic a bit outside the usual swirl of things that I find writers don't give much attention to. When people type in my backpack, or Bob Hocking, as keywords for a search engine, my website is almost always the first unsponsored, non-artificial intelligence result. And if it isn't, my books or social media or other associated ideas most often are. As a way of summing up the answer to the question, for now, the idea is simple. You want people to be able to find you. You want to make it as easy as possible for them to find you. You want to create words and images and thoughts that guide their "what's that book about?" or "who wrote?" starting confusion into becoming quickly and easily locating you. And that, in large part, comes with branding. Been listening to Writing and Publishing with Dumb Old Bob. This podcast is brought to you by Parkside Backpack Productions in partnership with In My Backpack. To learn more about me, this podcast, and my writing, visit the In My Backpack site today at inmybackpack.com. I was assisted in the development of the podcast by Justin Gillen, Jay Gillen, and Karen Chappell. Justin is a phenomenal musician, and he wrote, played, and recorded all of the music we use on our podcasts. Jay is an extremely talented artist that has been delivering great work on projects with me for quite some time. In addition to all of his designs and efforts for Dumb Old Bob, he also created the iconic logo for In My Backpack. Karen is a creative, motivated, thoughtful woman that has been delivering countless exceptional technical results and ideas for our productions and has been a driving force in bringing our podcasts to reality. And while I would love to take all of the credit, the truth is, if you are enjoying the Dumb Old Bob podcasts, the talents and contributions of these three are playing a significant role in us being able to accomplish that. I invite you to send along your questions, suggestions, and comments. We have pages on several social media sites for Dumb Old Bob, and you can also reach us by sending along an email. Thanks for stopping in for this episode, and check in with us again soon. Backpackville, we're all friends here. Until the next time, have a great day.